Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another installment of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston. Let's start with some good news, shall we? The University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Index fell for the third straight month. All right. Yes, winning. We're winning. Oh, by the way, the drop of this past month or from this past month features the largest drop since August of 2021. All right. Again, great job, everybody. MAGA, when you guys are in control, you sure know how to do it. CNN says America's souring economic mood, driven by worries over President Donald Trump's aggressive approach to tariffs, is a stunning reversal from the brief burst of optimism after President Trump's election in November. And CNN reports that a Wells Fargo survey shows that 82% of Gen Z adults and 79% of millennials plan to pare back their spending in the coming months. Now, still, majorities of those voting blocks backed Kamala Harris. However, the numbers were a lot smaller in 24 as they were when Biden beat Donald Trump back in 2020. So it didn't take long for Gen Z and millennials to realize that these guys are not on your side. However, all this being said, I'm taken aback by this news since I was told that Dear Leader Trump would reverse inflation on day one. No, not day two, not week two, not month two, on day one. Meanwhile, all that's been happening is, just as I talked about in my Friday short last week, we are now watching the real swamp operating in real time. To show off MAGA Republicans' supposed blue-collar roots, which was always a joke, the first thing Dear Leader Trump and his authoritarian co-president Elon Musk did was to break apart important government agencies that protect Americans from corporate abuses. And that all came from Project 2025, I have to remind you. I mean, you remember that book, don't you? I mean, it was brought up a couple of times during the election last year. It was the blueprint Dear Leader said that he knew nothing about. Know nothing about it at all, never read it. Well, that I did believe because it wasn't a picture book. But Dear Leader said he knew nothing about this blueprint, even though he installed the blueprint's lead architect, Russ Vought, to head the Office of Management and Budget. And one of Musk and Vought's very first actions was to gut the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and to tell its workers to stay home, that they weren't needed anymore. Again, this agency is one of the few good things that came from the Obama years after the financial crisis of 2008. But as Vought stated in Project 2025, gutting the CFPB was vital for the corporate donor base of the Republican Party. And it was important for another reason. Not only did the agency guard against the corporate fleecing of Americans, it also was the watchdog over the auto lending industry, which helped prevent scams that stole from everyday Americans. Making the CFPB disappear now would help those in that industry. Now, we have a question. Who in the current regime owns a car company and would stand to benefit from all this? Who? You see, this is the real swamp, everyone. We are watching the real swamp happen in real time. Let's focus on the Internal Revenue Service, shall we? Musk is eliminating 6,000 IRS jobs. 6,000. That's not going to save America or Americans' money, everyone. It's just not. I know it sounds good to some in MAGA world, all right? And I know that there have been those who have been sucked into MAGA world who believe that gutting the IRS during a tax season is just really awesome, super awesome. Yeah, but awesome for whom? For them? No. For somebody else, though. Who? Oh, yes, the rich and elite tax cheaters. Listen to this quote from NPR. "I just shook my head sadly," said Susan Long, who founded the data collection group at Syracuse University that tracks IRS audits. She says, "It's just so counterproductive if your goal is to save money and be efficient. This is not what any rational person would do. Unquote. Yeah, Elon Musk being rational? Not at all. It's not about saving money, everyone. It's not. It's about saving money for the corrupt corporate elite class. That's it. I mentioned this a couple times during the election last year, and I really, really wish that Kamala Harris, Alyssa Slotkin, Governor Whitmer, and so many other Democrats would have highlighted this fact that I'm about to relay to you again, okay? When Democrats passed the Inflation Reduction Act back in 2022, they set aside $80 billion to pay for additional IRS workers and to update IRS technology to go after rich tax cheaters, you know, otherwise known as lawbreakers. Fortune magazine last year reported, and I quote, tax revenues are expected to rise by as much as $561 billion from 2024 to 2034, thanks to stepped-up enforcement made possible with money from the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act, which became law in August of 2022. Hey, guys, that's over $500 billion. $500 billion that was going into our coffers. And guess what? When Republicans got control of the House of Representatives in 2023, you won't be surprised to learn that MAGA Republicans were able to cut a quarter of that funding for the IRS. Bad, but not devastating. Now, what President Musk is doing is devastating, because the IRS was already bringing in more money in efficient ways, since for every $1 that the IRS spends on high-end enforcement activity, the agency collects $12 in uncollected taxes. Now, high enforcement activity means that the IRS was effectively collecting money rich people were ordered by law to pay to us. All right, I'll say that again. Money they owed us, because we, working class Americans, go about our day trying to do the best we can by playing by the rules. And yet, MAGA Republicans are celebrating Elon Musk gutting the IRS to make it easy for those who proudly break the law. And weren't they the ones who said that they were the law and order party? Now, I'm going to say this again. For every $1 the IRS spends on high-end enforcement activity, the IRS collects $12 in uncollected taxes. That's one step in fixing our books and making sure that government is more efficient, and to make sure that government is working for everyone. So this whole policy was working. And now President Musk and Dear Leader Trump are single-handedly making government less efficient, making government not work so that they and their friends won't have to spend the money they owe all of us. Because they view the IRS attacking the mega rich, and they view it as attacking the elite donor base, which is vital to the Republican Party. I mean, so there you go. That's their main motivation. Redistributing wealth back up to the elite class. That's their motivation. Oh, and let's not forget that we already had people in place to investigate fraud and abuse happening in all kinds of government agencies. They were called inspectors general. We had IGs all over the place, and guess who gutted many of those generals? That's right, the guy we did not elect to be president, Elon Musk. So they devastate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and now the IRS, so the robber baron tech bros can gain even more power without anyone ensuring that they will pay up or that they'll stop screwing over the working class. That's the MAGA Republican Party's main motivation. But even more, they're also going after Medicaid, because why not? And then there's Social Security, which we've long known MAGA Republicans have wanted to privatize for years, going back to the George W. Bush years, which means Republicans have always been MAGA and will always be MAGA. As you know, I've had my issues and criticisms when it comes to the aforementioned Michigan Democratic Senator Alyssa Slotkin. I feel that she really wasn't prepared, and maybe she's not the only Democrat, of course, but she really wasn't prepared at all on how we were facing a corporate authoritarian takeover of the country, as she voted in favor of some of Dear Leader's crazy cabinet picks. And then she voted for the Lake and Riley Act, which is just a slippery slope towards further harming specific migrant workers in this country. But give credit where credit is due, because as I always say on this show, I call them as I see them. So here was Senator Slotkin questioning Trump's Office of Management and Budget Secretary nominee Dan Bishop as to whether or not his Dear Leader had the power to cut Social Security. Listen.
Do you believe that you have the right to unilaterally take money out of Social Security? Not that you will, but that you have the right.
Senator, the president's made very clear that
it's
not going to touch Social Security. But and you're speaking to hypotheticals. I would say I don't think that
it's not a hypothetical if every single Michigander that I talk to is worried about you cutting their Social Security benefits, their Medicare benefits, their veterans benefits, the post office, right? I was just up in very red conservative Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right? I'm the only Democrat there.
Right.
And they are like happy, as you said, there's people who are perfectly happy with cuts that are going on, but they are desperately worried that you are going to cut their Social Security, their Medicare, their veterans benefits, and the Postal Service. And despite everyone saying they're not going to touch it, you are smarter than that and know that the big cuts that you are calling for need big chunks out of these programs.
Senator, I don't hesitate to say that I do not believe that the president can stop Social Security benefits being paid. I don't think so.
You don't think he can pull money out of Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits?
I don't.
And the Postal Service.
And of course, the reason I say that the president said he's not going to is because that's what he's consistently declared, so I don't think it's an issue. But if you look
behind the numbers, and you guys are looking for $6 trillion, Doge is looking for that. You guys have been open about it, which I appreciate. $6 trillion doesn't come from a million here and a million there. It comes from cutting big programs. And what you are saying is, despite what everyone says here, you are working for, you proudly support this idea that you can move money even though it's been appropriated for a certain reason. So I don't think any American, red, blue, purple, the whole thing, should trust that these programs that they've worked their entire life for are safe if you believe you can do anything that you want.
Well, they're just...
Right? And look, let's just be fair. You fire people and then hire them the next week, that's indiscriminate. That's acknowledging you've made a mistake. That's not some review that normal private sector companies would do. I don't know a damn private sector company that would fire someone on Friday and hire them back on Monday because, whoops, they made a mistake. But let's just be honest that this approach is scaring the crap out of people on the benefits they've worked their entire life for.
Yeah, now Slotkin there did an effective job at questioning, and she did a good job explaining to Michiganders and all working class Americans how Elon Musk and Trump cannot be trusted with our money. I mean, really, first and foremost, Donald Trump trusted with money. But Slotkin brought up another good point there at the end, and she was talking about Musk and his teenage interns, led by some guy named Big Balls, cutting USDA jobs only to quickly reverse course and then rehire some of those workers back since we're in the middle of a bird flu epidemic and they were working on that. You know, this epidemic that is causing egg prices to soar across the country. I mean, that was just one harsh illustration of what happens when you have some clown going in there and slashing jobs without understanding what they do. I mean, we've got planes falling out of the sky to give you that harsh illustration of what happens when Elon Musk is in control of our government. Musk just recklessly cut jobs without thinking about any repercussions of his actions. But then what do you expect from a guy who goes around impregnating women all around the world, I guess? And now Musk, Trump, and House Speaker Mike Johnson and all of the MAGA Republicans in Congress are going after Medicaid. They're trying to find $1 trillion in cuts to a program that helps 72 million Americans and children. 72 million. We don't have much of a safety net here for Americans, but Medicaid is at least something. And, well, they're trying to get rid of that at least something. As of last year, 2.4 million Michiganders were on Medicaid, and that's due in part to Michigan receiving the Medicaid expansion from Obamacare a decade ago. The Kaiser Family Foundation reports that Medicaid covers 41% of all births in the United States. Hey, pro-birth people and anti-women's health people, I would think you would kind of like that stat, right? Also, Medicaid covers nearly half of children with special health care needs, 5 in 8 in a nursing home, 29% of non-elderly adults with any mental illness, and 40% of non-elderly adults with HIV. Medicaid also pays for Medicare premiums and often provides wraparound coverage for services not covered by Medicare, like most long-term care, for nearly 1 in 5 Medicare beneficiaries. That is 13 million Americans. And the Center for Budget Priorities reports that it costs Medicaid much less than private insurance to cover people of similar health status. For example, adults on Medicaid cost about 22% less than if they were covered by private insurance, Urban Institute research shows. So it is an efficient program. Are there inefficiencies? Yes, but that's why you had IGs in there to stop some of the fraud. Oh, and MAGA Republicans say the House Agriculture Committee must come up with $230 billion in savings, which means the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as SNAP, is also in trouble. I mean, do poor kids really have to eat? Do they really have to eat? And on top of that, you know, this helps farmers deliver some of their food, some of their product as well. But hey, why help farmers out too, right? Now, all of this is being done by Elon, Dear Leader Trump, and MAGA Republicans because they've got to dish out some hefty tax cuts to their authoritarian-loving rich donor base, a base that doesn't give a damn about we working Michiganders and Americans, not one bit, and you think they care about the kids? And Dear Leader promised the tech bros and corporations alike that for all of their hard work on arbitrarily raising prices on consumers through greedflation during the last couple of years, they will be rewarded with yet again another major cut to the corporate tax rates. Isn't that lovely? According to Jacobin, listen to this little tidbit here I've got for you. According to the Government Accountability Office, 70% of SNAP and Medicaid users in their study were full-time workers, with 90% of them in the private sector. A significant number of them worked in restaurants and department or grocery stores. Surprise, surprise, Walmart ranked among the top four employers whose workers relied on Medicaid and SNAP. As Eli Rosenberg broke down in the Washington Post, in nine states alone, Walmart had 14,000 employees on SNAP and 10,000 on Medicaid. Other top offenders included McDonald's, Dollar Tree, Amazon, Burger King, and FedEx. Isn't that just awesome? So we get to pay workers cheap, and then we are on the hook to help make sure that they get food and that they get some kind of basic healthcare quality. Man, that is such an awesome racket for the corporate donor base. I mean, so these companies now want to receive a bigger tax cut while many of their workers are on food stamps, really? But at least they're getting rid of, you know, their DEI policies because they get to celebrate discrimination again while still paying their employers low wages. This is why congressional Democrats cannot go along with this. They can't. They have to grow a spine and fight for the American people over this robber baron tech bro authoritarian regime. They have to fight for the people, the hardworking people of this country, because the people are getting angry and angry fast. And I'm not surprised by that fact, as we're seeing at all of these congressional town halls where Republicans are facing angry constituents from all over the country. But don't worry. Don't worry. Michigan MAGA Republican Congresswoman Lisa McClain of the 9th District around the Thumb Region says there's nothing to worry about and that the people attending these town halls are just plain old stupid.
I want to start with last week. Videos of protesters yelling at members of Congress went viral, right? But the content focused on the confrontation, not the why. Some of the people that hijacked those town halls are happy with the bloated status quo. They want the bloated status quo to continue. They don't want to get our country back on track. Yet Democrats are soliciting sob stories from bloated bureaucrats with six-figure salaries. Give me a break.
Hey, Lisa, around 14% of your district relies on Medicaid, and I'm guessing a higher percentage rely on Social Security, and I'm guessing a lot of them voted for you. But keep on backing policies to hurt the working class in order to enrich your donor base, okay, Lisa? That's who you really work for. Oh, and Lisa, keep collecting that government check of yours while working against the people in your district, the state of Michigan, and across the country. You keep being you, Lisa. MAGA Republicans only care about slashing the programs that protect us, you and I, so that they can enrich and make their already powerful friends richer and even more untouchable. You're listening to LOL.
A podcast that believes in using common sense to move Michigan into the future. And by common sense, we mean progressive sense. We've all seen what 40 years of Republican leadership did to this state, and we refuse to go back. It's Left of Lansing with Pat Johnston. You can follow Pat on Facebook or X. Pat still calls it Twitter. Or on the Gram, Threads, and also on YouTube. Subscribe to the show on YouTube and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. All right, I think we gave Pat enough time to catch his breath. Let's get back to it. Here's Pat Johnston.
Mr. Speaker, Republicans are ramming through $4.5 trillion in tax cuts for billionaires and powerful corporations. Look it up. We're not making it up. So my, when I hear people say that's not what's happening, when it's very evident, when you're cutting $880 billion, specifically in a committee that works on Medicaid, where do you think it's going to come from? And so for us to be able, for this chamber to be able to pay for the cuts for the billionaires and powerful corporations, they are literally ripping health care away from millions of our families.
That was Progressive Michigan Democratic Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib of Detroit giving the kind of necessary and common sense pushback to the Musk-Trump regime that's needed from all Democrats. MAGA Republicans this week passed that blueprint on their attacks on the working class while funneling money back up to the top to the very people who are not only bankrolling their campaigns and jobs, but to the very people who stand to gain an even further chokehold on our government. Again, this was just a blueprint for a budget, but the process has begun. And so far, not one MAGA Republican voted against it. But bills like this are helping the powerful even become more powerful. When does it stop? Now, for example, the Washington Post just reported today how the Federal Aviation Administration is planning to scrap a $2.4 billion contract with Verizon in favor of a deal with President Musk's Starlink. But hey, what dumb luck that is for Elon Musk, isn't it? Wow, how that just happened. I mean, I know he's been busy scrapping the FAA and its workers across the country while planes are falling out of the sky. Musk has clashed in the past with the FAA over safety and regulatory violations, and so this would be such a huge boondoggle for the president. And meanwhile, MAGA Republicans will just look at this and say, hey, no big deal. Hey, let's tell everyone that poor migrant workers are the real evil in this country. Maybe they'll believe it and not look at those at the top and say, hey, maybe they're the real evil ones. MAGA voters out there, come on, you guys talked up a big game in saying that you're against corporate greed and corporate corruption. Where are you? MAGA Michigan Republican Speaker of the House, Matt Hall, you also talked a huge game in saying that you're against corporate welfare. When are you going to introduce a resolution, just a resolution, condemning President Musk and your dear leader for enriching themselves off our tax dollars? Again, our tax dollars. Hell, let me ask my congressman, the weakling and the corporate stooge that is John Molinar, when are you going to take to the House floor and demand that such a move be blocked? Or are you just going to sit there and just continue to vote to gut Social Security and Medicaid, you know, those programs that thousands of your mid-Michigan constituents rely on? Or are you just going to continue to introduce bullshit bills like banning undocumented workers from collecting Social Security, something that is already against the law? John Molinar does nothing exceptional. He's not exceptional. He doesn't fight on behalf of the working people in his mid-Michigan district. He's got himself a nice, cushy job, earning good money for doing very, very little work. He gets to go on all kinds of trips, I'm sure, have all kinds of nice, expensive dinners while doing very little work for the people. Now, there's a government job that's the fleecing of America, everyone. John Molinar's seat. But he bends his knee all the time to dear leader. And I'm wondering if John will ever order for the complete release of the Jeffrey Epstein tape, since, you know, Epstein claimed that he and dear leader knew each other quite well back in the day. Hey, John, come on. You're against human trafficking, right? You're against sexual abuse. You're against rape. You're against grooming. Come on, John. Step up. Let's go. I mean, has John or any Michigan Republican had anything to say how dear leader Trump just allowed bro clown influencers like Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate to come back into the United States? I mean, those two have been, according to The Guardian, charged of human trafficking, rape, and forming a criminal gang to sexually exploit women. And in 2023, Romanian authorities formally charged the brothers, naming seven alleged victims. They also fled charges of rape in Great Britain, too, by the way. But who's here to save them in this country? Who's got their back? That's right, dear leader Trump and the MAGA Republican Party, which it maybe stands to reason since they owe so much to these misogynistic right-wing tools, since younger male voters are seemingly voting more and more MAGA. But I'm glad John Molinar is fighting to punish undocumented workers who have how much political clout do they have? Oh, that's right, they've got zero political clout. And he's saying absolutely nothing while dear leader Trump and President Musk bring back alleged sex traffickers and rapists back into this country. Oh, I know. This is called making America great, or so I'm told. John Molinar, certainly you are against rapists, right? And sex traffickers being brought back into this country, right? Aren't you? I mean, speak up, son, speak up. Or are you that terrified? Are you that much of a weakling to your dear leader to say anything that might anger him? And are you fine just being the Frank Burns of Congress? But guess what, everyone? This is America. under Musk and Trump, and it's why talk of bipartisanship is simply lost on me. And it's especially lost on me when it comes at the expense of the working class. Now, I've been talking about how Republicans are trying to gut Medicaid and Social Security and food stamps. And at first, you know, they tried to deny it, but eventually, as always, the truth spills out of their mouths. Here's Kentucky MAGA Congressman Andy Barr letting everyone know the true goal on Fox News this week. Listen.
Medicaid is a big mandatory spending program, but what we need in this country is for the American people to get back to work.
Yeah.
Work-capable adults need to get off of the taxpayer rolls, and they need to get into private health insurance in private employment. This is what Secretary Bessent and President Trump are talking about when they say reprivatize the economy. This is good for people who are currently on Medicaid in Kentucky and around the country. We want people to not be on Medicaid.
Yeah.
We want them to have good private sector jobs that pay them more and give them better quality private health insurance.
And there you have it. Barr said what John Molnar and his fellow MAGA Michigan congresspeople like Lisa McClain and John James are trying to hide from you. They want to force people into the handcuffs of the private insurance industry, an industry that ensures it makes profits by not taking care of people. And it's an industry that supplies these guys with all kinds of bribes. I'm told, I can't say bribes, that they are campaign contributions. Oh, and while I have this on the top of my mind, I no longer ever want to hear those arguments that we can't develop a universal healthcare system or a Medicare for all system in this country because it would put people out of work from the private insurance industry. Okay. Elon is tossing thousands of government workers into the streets, many of them U.S. veterans, you know, the people Dear Leader calls the suckers, and the right wing is celebrating it. And one congressman this week even said, well, God's got a plan for them. God's got a plan for federal workers who, you know, do things like keep water clean, but he doesn't have a plan for those working in the private insurance industry? What does that say about the private insurance industry if God doesn't have a plan for them? And guess what? We can keep private industry around for supplemental insurance. I'm fine with that. But give us universal health care. Damn it. Now I'm thinking about how much I despise the late Joe Lieberman, who single-handedly blocked the country from getting a public option. Some 50 years from now, they're going to be making movies about how awful our healthcare industry is in this country. And Joe Lieberman had better be one of the biggest villains in all of those movies. Okay, so we know why Republicans are gutting Medicaid. They hate the program because it helps normal people. And again, it helps so many pregnant mothers out there who need assistance to give birth. But see, white Christian nationalist MAGA Republicans only get off on forcing women to give birth. That's their main motivation. They don't give a damn about helping the baby once it's born. I mean, these people are the true antithesis of everything they espouse to believe in because they don't actually follow the words of Jesus. And if they did, they wouldn't be against abortion since Jesus never, ever said anything against abortion. But I digress. As I said, this is America under Musk and Trump, and it's why talk of bipartisanship is lost on me when it comes at the expense of the working class. That's why this one part from Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer's State of the State address this week didn't really move me all that much, and I'm guessing it didn't move many of you either. Listen.
Last week, Republicans, Democrats, workers, and business came together to forge a fair deal on minimum wage and paid sick time. Because we work together, the minimum wage will rise to $15 an hour for more than 700,000 workers a year faster than it would have before. The tipped minimum wage increased by the largest amount ever and will keep going up. Workers will have more time to care for themselves and their families because now Michigan has the best earned sick time in the country, and small businesses have more flexibility. This was a bipartisan effort, and I am proud that we were able to get it done.
Whitmer, of course, was referring to how she signed a bill that every MAGA Michigan Republican in the state legislature voted for, and a few Democrats sheepishly voted for as well. If you listened to the show last week, I talked all about how the corporate restaurant lobby here in the state showed that it had real muscle to scare some Democrats into voting to cut the wages and paid sick time leave for thousands of Michiganders. Now, Whitmer touted these quote-unquote bipartisan bills as a celebration, but in reality, it was an outright betrayal. I'm going to have a little bit more to say about Whitmer's speech in my last call here coming up in just a few moments and in my Friday short, but this is what I'm trying to talk about here. Whitmer could have held the line. State Democrats could have held the line and voted for the minimum wage hikes and paid sick leave increases to be enacted as originally written almost 10 years ago. But like MAGA Republicans did before them back in 2018, Whitmer and a few Democrats joined MAGA Republicans this time around to once again water down the bills. And we wonder why some Democrats are having problems connecting with the working class. And we wonder why some people aren't moving to Michigan. As the Center for American Progress noted, for the last 50 years, those at the top of the income scale continue to make gains while the rest of us don't. And this vote hurt people of color, and it hurt women who work minimum wage jobs and who work tipped wage jobs. Yet, we left them out to dry. And as our good friends over at Distill Social noted on their podcast last week, eventually phasing out the tipped wage would have also helped women working in restaurants because they wouldn't have to endure sexual harassment or endless verbal harassment just so they could earn a couple more dollars on tips. There's ample evidence showing how workers and businesses do better with these kinds of laws, and at the very least, it gives workers incentives. Ah, but the hell with it. We need more profits at the top, I guess. Now, Whitmer did mention the Flint RX program, where expectant mothers receive cash assistance during pregnancy and during the child's first year with no strings attached. We've covered it here on this show. It is a remarkable program that the state, along with private investment, are helping to fund. Whitmer did make mention of it, so that's good, but perhaps that's where she should have catapulted her speech into a more populist message of helping all of our workers, all of our families, and all of our children. Instead, she focused on taking cell phones away from school children, which, okay, maybe there's some merit there, but at the same time, you know, I hate to say this, but these phones allow kids to call their parents when there are tragedies happening at these schools. So I don't know. I just don't think this was on the top of minds of many Michiganders. And Whitmer focused on trying to coddle young men who chose to spend their time watching people like Andrew Tate tell them that women are to blame for everything and to stay away from college, stay away from jobs where women have the higher percentage of jobs. I mean, Andrew Tate and all these guys teach these young men to just be dicks. And now we're supposed to coddle them? Look, I'll talk more about that in my Friday short, like I said, but that little part of the speech seemed a bit off. Look, I'm all for trying to get more Michiganders into college, of course, and to make it more affordable since we need college-educated people here if we're going to attract the jobs of the future here. I mean, I'd much rather spend our money that way than on corporate welfare, which we are not really getting a bang for our buck. But Whitmer, in my opinion, appeared to be a bit more reactionary in her speech rather than bold. And it comes at the expense of the working class, everyone. There should have been more of a contrast between her vision and Musk and Trump's vision. And there should have been more strength put behind the working class. Now, you know, I applauded Democratic State Senator Jeremy Moss of Southfield for sitting in the front row during that sham of a press conference where right-wing weakling Josh Shriver, he's a MAGA Republican state representative from Oxford, introduced a resolution calling for the Supreme Court of the United States to overturn its ruling that made same-sex marriages legal. Now, Shriver, like all weakling MAGA bullies, skedaddled right away once he was finished because he didn't want to have to face questions from the press or from Senator Moss, who took to the podium, the same podium, to call this resolution an attack on the LGBTQ community. And that's exactly what it was. And I applaud Senator Moss for his strength on this issue and also for the optics. That was very, very well done. But I also wish that Moss and some other Democrats would have shown that kind of strength for the working class when it came to the minimum wage last week, because that was an attack on those that we are supposed to be fighting for, everyone. If that's what bipartisanship looks like, everyone, then I have to tell you, I say no to bipartisanship. You're listening to LOL.
He enjoys watching sporting events from years ago. He can recite most of the 1984 Detroit Tigers lineup. He will go to the mat in saying Michigan has produced some of the greatest music in the past 60 years. But most of all, he enjoys the loyalty of a fine dog while sipping on a tasty Michigan beer. Oh, and he loves talking about politics, if you haven't been able to tell yet. It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. Need more Pat? Visit and subscribe to leftoflansing.com. Now, back to Pat.
Remember, you can always share your thoughts, reactions, criticisms, or well wishes by emailing me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. That's a good way for us to continue any kind of discussion. You can also follow me on Blue Sky, since I'm doing the majority of my commentating there. But you can also follow me on Twitter, since I refuse to give up ground on Elon's site and other social media places. You can also like and subscribe to the show on the YouTube, because that's where you not only will get every episode and Friday Short and Monday Musing, but you'll get videos of me. That's right. Like this one that got some good reaction this week, in which I called out Big Gretch for no longer being Big Gretch ever since the election. Listen. So where is Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer nowadays? She has a chance to be a leader, a force to separate herself from the milquetoast and ineffectual so-called leaders of the Democratic Party, stand up for democracy, and say Michigan is not for sale to co-presidents Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Back in her first term, that woman from Michigan was a symbol as a strong Democrat, refusing to back down to MAGA. But since this election, Whitmer's fighting spirit of old has fizzled, as she now says that she wants to find common ground with those spreading corporate authoritarianism. You remember back in Superman 2 when General Zod invades the White House and quickly realizes the person kneeling in front of him is not the president, because he says, "No one who leads so many would kneel so quickly." That's exactly what Governor Gretchen Whitmer is doing. Ella Wheeler Wilcox wrote, "To sin by silence when we should protest makes cowards out of men." Where is Gretchen Whitmer when we most need her? Remaining silent. By the way, not only can you see me on YouTube, but you can check out my high-tech graphics work, like in that video where I included a figurine of General Zod, since there were obvious licensing requirements to posting a Terrence Mann picture. Who knew? What I said in that video is part of this week's Left of Lansing Last Call. One person responded to me and said that I should not be attacking our own just for clicks. Now, I'm not attacking this person for having an opinion on what I had to say, since I'm assuming we probably still agree on 85% of the topics, and I appreciate their viewpoints even if they didn't like what I had to say. I'm all about people having differing opinions, and sometimes it could prove that in time, they or you might be right and that I was really wrong the whole time. So that's okay, but I will call them as I see them. And I just wanted to tell you a little something about this show right now. Like Jessica says sometimes on these episodes, this show is progressivism with passion. I'm a progressive, and I'm going to share a progressive message. But even more than that, I'm also going to share my opinions where I think Democrats are winning or losing the optics war, the messaging war, and the connection war. I have attacked Senator Alyssa Slotkin a lot here recently, but look, this week I actually gave her a little credit. I will give credit when credit is due, and I will give criticism when criticism is due. I want to have a more progressive, populist, and strong Democratic Party in the state of Michigan and across the country. I mean, look how awful the National Democratic Party leadership has been during the first month of the President Musk and Dear Leader Trump's term. They look lost, flat-footed, unable to grasp just how badly MAGA is hurting the working class. And you get like so-called influential leaders like James Carville saying Democrats should just sit back and let MAGA Republicans pass their hate-filled, hurtful agenda, and then everyone will then crawl back to the Democrats. Maybe, James, but at what expense? If MAGA Republicans do indeed gut Medicaid, for example, how are we sure that this current makeup of the Democratic Party would restore everything we lost in terms of Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security or LGBTQ plus rights or environmental rights or of economic rights? Are we really that confident that they quickly restore everything for the people? I gotta tell you what, that's not a gamble I'm willing to take, and that's not a gamble I think we all can take, and it's why we have to keep fighting every single day for the people. The people don't care about Hakeem Jeffries becoming the next House Speaker. They care about improving their lives and their families' lives. I'm not going to blindly be for any Democrat simply because they're not MAGA. I am not a blue no matter who, because by that token, we end up with somebody like Bob Menendez. We have to always keep a critical eye on the Democratic Party as well. I'm critical of Governor Whitmer right now, not because I think she's the worst governor in Michigan's history or the worst governor in the country right now. No, I'm critical of Governor Whitmer because at a time of national peril, she's choosing to work with those that she claimed were a threat to our democracy and our economic well-being. I think that's wrong. And I will not stop criticizing some Democrats, including Whitmer, when I think that they are on the wrong path, the wrong side of history, and that they aren't serving their constituents. I'm reminded back when I was a kid, I go to this 2-week basketball camp in the Detroit area, which was a good way for parents to send their kids somewhere during the summertime for a few days. But there was this legendary high school head coach who ran the camp. And on day one, he'd tell us everything that we were going to learn, that we would have some fun, but that we'd also be doing some hard work. And then he would say these words that always stuck with me. In fact, I can still hear them when he'd say, "This is not going to be Camp Good Time." Now that stuck with me, and well, this podcast is not Camp Good Time. I'm not here to help a political party. I'm here to highlight a political movement that sticks up for the working class, sticks up for the marginalized in our society, and sticks up for Michigan on becoming a more enlightened, educated, and accepting state. That means I'll be leveling criticism, of course, towards the corporate authoritarianism that's happening within the MAGA Republican Party, but also that means sometimes I'll be leveling some criticism towards Democrats when they are failing to fight against that political movement. If you don't want to hear that kind of commentary and analysis, that's fine. I suggest you find another place because I refuse to allow this podcast to be Camp Good Time.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. Thanks again for your comments, for subscribing, and for listening. Please, please, please subscribe to the show since subscriptions are important for us. And please let others know of the show if you think that they'd like it. Can't believe that when we talk again, it'll already be March, and we'll be getting closer and closer to March Madness basketball, and we'll be getting closer and closer to the start of the baseball season. Wow. One more thing. Rest in peace to one of my all-time favorite actors, Gene Hackman. My three favorite roles that he played in were Lex Luthor in Superman, Coach Norman Dale in Hoosiers, and Little Bill in Unforgiven, of course. He had that gift that very few actors and actresses have, and that is he had the gift to play the good guy, and he had the gift to play the bad guy, and he was great each and every time. Until next time, remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.